Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. This lady has all of my attention. This is the woman we were just talking to there, Aurora, who was telling us that the world is running out of sand. Her accent teamed up with the subject matter is radio foreplay. Stop. The Pistols ended up in court regarding the use of the word bollocks. They proved it was not offensive, as it was a medieval word for a priest, says Jerry in Limerick. That how appropriate is that? And Brian says, Ireland will never win another Eurovision Song Contest again because they won it so many times in the 1990s. And host countries don't do well on the night. They won it in 1994 not because of rock and roll kids, but because of Riverdance, the interval act. Says Brian, it may well be a factor. Anyway, it is time for So You Think You're an Adult. Barbara Scully joins us once again, and for the first time, John Maher. John, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
You might know this, was when Nevermind the Bollocks was released in Ireland. Was there ever a period when which they started putting stickers over the word bollocks?
There was, for sure. There was outcry about it.
Ah, right. I didn't make that up then.
Sure, I knew that too.
Yeah, because I remember being at school and going to the spring show. As you did in those days.
Coming up for the country.
And a fellow in my class bought a copy of the album, but then...
But a pixelated version of it.
No, it wasn't. It was the actual one, but it was the first day it was released. So, or it must have been the first week it was released or something. And then he was telling me afterwards, they put stickers over the rest of them. This will be worth a fortune.
He got one without the sticker.
Yeah, because Excellent. Of the word bollocks. It's always worth money.
I can't believe, is that true that it used to be the medieval word for a priest?
Apparently so, yeah.
Very apt.
I'm taking a whole new tack next time I interview a priest. Right, my husband and I have been house hunting for our forever home for the last few months. To be honest, it's become a very frustrating process. We live in Cork and so far we haven't agreed on much about the houses we viewed, bar one. The problem is the house is way out of our budget, 25 grand out of our budget to be precise. We should never have viewed it, as now my heart has been set on it. Against my husband's wishes, I spoke to my parents and they agreed to help us out with the extra money to help us buy the house. I know this is going to be an issue for my husband and he really won't be happy. I'm so nervous to broach the subject with him as he's been finding the whole process so stressful. How should I tell him? I was thinking of telling the estate agent to put in the offer and then deal with the consequences afterwards, but that may make matters worse. Oh really, you think? I just so think that this is the house for us and I know I'll regret it if we let it pass us by.
Sounds like that relationship is in trouble to me. I mean, to be honest, it's incredibly stressful house hunting at the best of times, even kind of when you're renting, like to find somewhere to rent, but whatever about buying somewhere that you're saddled with a 25 or 30 year mortgage. This idea about the perfect house is a fallacy as well. It really is. Unfortunately, there's a kind of rabbit hole in sight here, and it looks like that person is about to go down it and there will be no coming back, because if you introduce a very big lie into a relationship like that, I think other little lies and other medium-sized lies and some rather big lies can follow suit. Mm. The key question is, what is the husband's problem with the parents, with her parents? Is it that he feels that he needs to be the provider? In which case, let's track back a little and think that the baby boomer generation had it a little bit easier when it came to buying property because your salary was much more aligned to what you could afford. Today it's completely out of whack. So an awful lot of people out there are getting parental help and they're not able to do it without parental help. So perhaps she should say to the husband, look, let's just face facts here. It's 2017. A lot of people are doing this. She can probably list a number of her friends that have had to call on parents to help out. It's not something people want to do, but it's a kind of fact of life nowadays. It really is. If he still has a problem with that, well, you've got to say, can you park your own frustration about this dream house? And is it really a dream house? Is it worth kind of biding your time? I'm somebody that bought a property in 2005 as the madness was escalating more and more, and it did feel like a millstone for a long time. So you've got to try and strip emotion out of these things as well, and see if in terms of the purchase and see what are the fundamentals here in terms of the relationship. Otherwise, well then, I guess if you want to go down that rabbit hole, go down it and see what happens.
It's gas, you know, just what you said about buying houses. I'm always struck by the fact that buying houses is probably the biggest financial commitment anybody, any of us will ever take on in our lives, right? And yet, in 9 times out of 10, I think, this is only my own thought now, that most people do make that decision based on emotion. In other words, you walk into a house and you go, oh my God, yeah, I love this. You've probably not seen the upstairs. You've probably not checked out the garden. You walk in the door and you go, oh my God, I love this. And once you get to that point, you're actually seeing yourself living there. You're like, you know, the whole thing kind of steamrolls very quickly down to it's not a house, it's the home, it's a lifestyle. It's I can see us here. I can see kids running around and a dog and blah, 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 blah. So I'm always struck by how we let our emotions really dictate our choices when we come to buying a huge
Because actually it tends to be an emotional thing for the reason really big purchases rather than the little small ones where there might be a bit of rational thought that goes into it. Whereas the really huge things like a car.
A car I wouldn't get emotional about at all.
I certainly have and I've spent a bit too much money in the past on cars.
Yeah, I'm married to somebody who does that too, but not. But I think in this case, first of all, I'm staggered that there are parents out there who can afford to stump up 25 grand to help kids out, you know, to help kids with buying a house, especially if they've more than one child. Like, what happens when the next child wants to buy a house and if they've more than two? Like, that frightens the living daylights out of me. But basically, I agree with John. I think that, you know, you're buying it together. It's a joint commitment to this mortgage. You cannot do it or you know, kind of start to bring in underhand stuff that your husband isn't going to find out.
Well, she's
about.
Already gone underhand.
She's already... I can kind of understand that because they're her parents. Like, she probably just had a chat with the parents.
I just feel that she might be capable of anything, like introducing frilly cushions and things like that to the sofa situation.
She's entitled to introduce frilly cushions.
And kind of very strange curtains. And then the relationship really could go awry.
But I think that she can't do this on a solo run. She has to. And I mean, I think she should broach it with the husband. She should say, look, I've spoken to my parents, just like what John said. And, you know, OK, there'll be a bit of a row about that, but it won't be half as serious as the row as if she'd gone to the next stage and put in an offer on the house on the fact that she's getting helped out by the parents. That would be a real disaster to do that. So, you've got. And the other thing is that it's like relationships. You know, I don't believe that there is one soulmate for everybody. I don't believe there's one house for everybody as well.
Yeah.
You know, you will find another house. So I would say to you, relax. If the husband doesn't want to take the money from the parents, which I can fully understand why he mightn't want to be on the back foot with the parents-in-law, you know, long term, and you have to go and look at for another house, it will come along. You've only been looking for a few months, and like, that's not a long time to be looking for a house. So I would just relax, take a deep breath. If it's not possible for you to buy this house, there will be another house. I guarantee it that you'll fall in love with, but it might be in a year's time.
Yeah, I think I may be reading too much into it. I think his head is just melted at this stage. And she's driving this process and she's the one with the opinions. He just wants it to stop. Any more than anything else.
Okay. Well, if he wanted it to stop, you'd imagine he'd take the 25 grand and go.
Well,
ahead
you see, I think you're both right. There's something else there. It's not like if he had a really fabulous, healthy relationship with her parents, that would be no problem.
Yes.
But, you know, will he be hearing about this for the rest of his life?
You just feel that has there been something gnawing away there?
Yes.
You know, has there been little comments made that makes him feel that he's kind of been undervalued a little?
Yeah.
Plus, also, there are many people out there who have other negative things to say about it. Is she putting in an offer at her max? Unlikely to be the final price for the property. No need to have this conversation. She won't get it. Somebody else says, wouldn't they need to pay tax on the parental gift? That's true. There will always be another house. Why cause the hurt and betrayal by going behind his back?
Exactly.
And someone else says, Ed says, that woman should ask the parents to keep the money for her legal expenses for the upcoming divorce. I work in an open office and the woman next to me won't stop talking about her kids. It's gotten to the point where I know their lives in such intricate detail that I could tell you which one has scouts on which day and what each of them have been immunised against. It's constant and unrelenting. I understand that she's proud and all that, but she can't even talk about the weather without bringing it back to her kids. I don't want to be rude about it because she's a nice woman, but I've no more interest in hearing about her little darlings anymore than I do about her toilet habits. I know all about her toilet habits, by the way. The youngest one has just stopped wetting the bed, but still has some trouble during the day and wets his pants. Right.
I think we get the idea.
Yes.
Definitely. Okay, first thing is, I know that this can be very irritating and very boring, and most of us aren't that interested in each other's kids to any great extent. So I think any of our tolerance of listening to the ins and outs of even our friends' kids can be quite low. But I'm guessing that this woman, like many mothers in my experience, you know, find that they miss their kids while they're in work, and talking about them makes them bring them a little bit closer. They also maybe have the guilt thing. So again, if they talk about them, they feel in their brain they're kind of still actively mothering in some way. So, you know, that's there's often a reason why in a work situation that's slightly different from just people boring you when you're out having a drink with them about their kids' achievements and all the rest of it. But I think that's something about her in her brain is making her feel that, you know, maybe I'm a little bit still doing the mothering thing if I'm talking about them. But so I would say to this woman who's written in, you know, cut her a little bit of slack, be a little bit understanding about that. I would be slow to kind of have a word with her and say, look, I'm really bored listening about your kids and I don't want to, because as most parents will know, if you in any way say anything that could be construed as a criticism of your children, people go off the Richter scale completely. Yeah. That's a kind of recipe for disaster. Yeah. So, you know, maybe just practicing a little bit of diversion, a little bit of a, you know, once she starts going into a story about Johnny wetting the bed or whatever, you suddenly have, you know, a very important phone call you have to make, or you have to go down and talk to the photocopier or whatever. Or when she's in the middle of talking about something, suddenly bringing up a different subject, which clearly gives the signal you actually have stopped listening and you're not really engaged with what she's going on about. And that might kind of, in a kind of subconscious way.
That might be hard to do, though, because, you know, some people are so obsessed with their children, they assume everybody else is too.
If you're in a work situation, you can get distracted with stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can be sitting on the computer and then go, oh, something just, sorry, Mary, now I have to stop you. I have to go and do this, or I have to go and do that. And you do that a few times, she might get the message.
There are some jobs where it is perfect. Permissible to wear noise cancelling headphones as well. Yeah. And I've done that in the past and it's been ideal. I have to say, whether it's children or any other subject that people are passionate about, there is nothing as wearying as them going on and on and on about it. I did the marathon a week or so ago, and a friend took me to one side about a month ago and said, don't mean to hurt your feelings, but you've become extremely boring, because every time I meet you, you talk about your bloody running.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so I've got two children. I tend not to bore people without children about my own children.
Yeah.
But even those with, I'm kind of thinking they have a finite amount of interest in my children.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got a finite amount of interest in their children.
Exactly.
And it's just a good rule of thumb. And it's also, I suppose, boils down to not hogging the conversation as well. Mm. I mean, this person in the office sounds like she just is broadcasting all day.
Yeah.
But it's difficult, though, to say. I think it's really difficult to say to that person, you're boring us with your children.
Because it
says your children are boring.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I think, you know, trying to kind of divert it or just give clear indications that you're not really totally engaged with what she's talking about might help her, that the penny will drop. So, you know.
You'd hope. Yeah.
But it's an awkward one because you can't really confront it head on, as you say, Sean.
Move chair. It's the only answer. My mum and dad have become very frail, and their sister and their care has been left in my hands. I'm the youngest of four siblings, and my brothers and sisters have basically washed their hands of our parent care, arguing that I have more time because I don't have kids. They've gone so far as to suggest that I move back into our family home with them, as living there on their own is no longer sustainable. They don't want our parents to go to a nursing home, as they're scared that they might be split up. At the moment, we do have some respite care thanks to a home help nurse a couple of days a week, but the rest of the time I'm there with them. My dad is in the early stages of Alzheimer's, while my mother is as sharp as a needle. Her physical health has gone downhill, and after a recent fall, she's limited in what she can do. At the moment, I'm going around to them about 5 days a week, basically whenever the nurse isn't there. My siblings call around for about an hour at the weekend with their children, who are like tornadoes around the place and leave the house in a worse state than they found it. I've a really demanding job, and I haven't seen my friends in a couple of months. I feel totally bereft. I don't want to seem selfish, but it's far too much pressure for me.
This is an incredibly tough one, and it's something that families have have divided families for a long time. Funnily enough, I would imagine those siblings that turn up once a week for an hour will be very quick to show up when the solicitor is reading out the will at the end of
that's
this
another
process,
thing that brings families together.
That brings families together for sure. I mean, this is one of those terrible situations where people look at each other and try to work out how much free time they've got in their lives. Mm. And we all think we know what somebody else's life is like and that they've loads of free time. But do you know what? We don't know anything. We can't definitively say that for sure. And it really is a case here where families have to be like the Waltons and really club together and talk and communicate and say to each other, look, this is a very tough situation. We don't know when it will end. Obviously, we don't want it to end, but because that means that the parent you love is gone. But it is something we have to be mature about. We have to be adults here, adults even, and we have to divvy this up fairly as possible. And that may mean that the person without children spends a little bit more time, but it doesn't mean they're spending all the time there. And it doesn't mean that they have to give up their work and move in with them.
No. I mean, I would be very, very clear about this and say to the person who I think is probably a woman who wrote in that, no, she's not. She said she doesn't want to seem selfish, but it's too much pressure. The situation she's in is not fair. It's like not one bit fair. And she's not being selfish at all in complaining about a situation that she's been kind of forced into by her siblings. Who has what on and who has what free time, in my view, is actually irrelevant. You know, they all have a responsibility to the parents in order to provide and to, in some way, get involved in the care of the parents. I mean, I think there's that whole thing which I rabbit on about on a regular basis about the fact that we no longer in our society value the work involved in caring for somebody, whether that's a child or whether that's an elderly person, whether it's in a nursing home or whether it's in your own home. People think that caring is kind of simple stuff that you can do whenever you have a bit of free time and it can be parked into the corners of your life, and it's not. And particularly caring with somebody who's got Alzheimer's disease is very, very problematic, because you've got a burden that's on lots of different levels. It's psychologically hard, it's mentally hard, it's physically hard, and it's emotionally hard to watch somebody you love change quite dramatically because of the changes that are going on in the brain.
And it can be somewhat dangerous at times as well.
Oh, absolutely it can. So, you know, I totally agree with John. This family need to come together, all of these siblings, and have an open and honest conversation. But what I think they need to do, so that the burden does not fall onto this person who seems to be now in the family, the person who's responsible, if you like, for the caring to a large extent, I would urge them to get an independent voice to help them on this. And I know in the past, I'm sure they still do, the Alzheimer's Society used to offer that facility that you could go in and talk to one of their counsellors about how to work it out. The whole family need that, with somebody independent, somebody outside of the family who can, because with Alzheimer's as well, the caring that's going to be involved is going to change over time. You know, so whatever they put in place now, there's going to be more required over time, and they need to be aware of that and plan for that and support each other through that. So I would definitely suggest that they get onto either the Carers Association or the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland and see if they can help them, and maybe sit in and have a meeting, all of them together. But I would say to this woman who's written in, you're not selfish, you're absolutely right, it's not fair that it's all landed onto your shoulders, and you can't take it on going forward.
Yeah, no, but in fairness to the siblings, because it sounds like the siblings have young kids, it's very little to squeeze more time out of that.
We were talking about this outside, actually. And we were just saying that, you know, with people getting married older and with people living longer, when your parents get to the stage of needing care, the children of those parents are very often with young children themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas a couple of generations ago, the children of the parent would have adult children themselves who didn't need help, but could dig in as well. Yeah. Whereas now, candle both ends. And not
and of course
easy.
The other thing this speaks to is the fact that we have so poor community care in Ireland for elderly people who want to remain independent and in their own homes. You know, the government policy for the last decades has been towards nursing home care, which is not what most older people want, and we have people in nursing homes that don't need to be in nursing homes. Yeah. They're only there because there's no care in the community, and that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. Now, Left Emily says they don't want our parents to go to a nursing home as they're scared they might be split up.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's she might have a different view there.
Well,
and it's kind of almost like they're using her as a cover for their own guilt. Yeah. They can't do enough, so that means you have to do everything.
Exactly, and that's just not. And it's very, as John said, it's so common in most families. I think there's always there's the one person who ends up shouldering the
burden. In fact, I would say it's it is unusual for families to be really on message in this subject. It tends to be extraordinarily divisive.
Yeah. Absolutely. We did this for my parents and I was being left with the majority of the work. Like you said, sit down and talk to one another. Everything changed when they learned how I was overwhelmed with the workload. Yeah, it's possibly something they...
And even if she has the time, you know, the emotional and psychological burden of it is not fair.
Oh, yeah, when you're all by yourself doing it.
Yeah, exactly. That's not fair.
Yeah.
So it can't go on.
Yeah. On a different question, that guy should make up a hobby like Lego. This is the person who sent in to a person who, and she talks about her kids all the time. We don't know if it was a man or a woman. We were kind of guessing it was a woman who sent in the question. Anyway, they should make up a hobby like a Lego collection or the Premiership and bore the arse off her. She will stop talking then. Trudy says, I'm married with cats. Cats.
All right, that's okay.
When people go on about their children too, I pull out my phone and make them look at an album of 230 pictures of my cats.
That's a great idea.
Usually two or three times is enough to get the point across.
It's a brilliant room empty.
Someone else says, I used to tell people that went on about their kids, you have to love them, I don't. Yeah, I know that you used to tell people that because I doubt very much if you tell them that
anymore. They're in an office on their own now,
down the end
of the corridor.
No friends.
Barbara and Jan, thank you both very much for coming into us. We're going to take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.